I don't know if Esther is still here, but Esther, if you're here, thank you so much for sharing that beautiful story with us. I am deeply, deeply encouraged and really grateful for our church family. Good morning, everybody, and especially to our college students, if you're here, welcome and welcome back. If we haven't met, my name is Huey, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here, and it's really, really just good to be with you this morning. I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And if you are here with us last week, we began a new sermon series in the Gospel of Mark. We are leaning into our church's focus area for this spring, which is to bearing witness to Jesus. And as we journey through the Gospel of Mark, our desire is to encounter Jesus afresh as he is revealed to us in the Bible. We want to see Jesus clearly, not just as a religious teacher, or not just as a moral example, but as the Son of God who came to save, to restore, and and for him to make all things new. And ultimately, we want our encounter with Jesus to lead us to greater wonder and deeper worship and deeper dependence. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he made this argument that if we take seriously what the Bible says about Jesus, if he really is who he says he is, and if he really did the things that he did, then we cannot be neutral or indifferent about Jesus. In other words, encountering Jesus will require of us to have intellectual integrity and emotional courage to call him a liar or a lunatic or to call him Lord. He goes on to say this. He says, "You must make your choice. Either this Jesus was and is the Son of God or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet. Call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." So if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, perhaps you are curious about the claims of Christianity, or maybe you didn't grow up in the church, or you left the faith a long time ago, but you're here this morning, you are seeking, you are searching, you are asking questions. I just want to say thank you so much for being here. And we want you to know that this sermon series has been designed with you in mind. And we are praying that the life of Jesus would be clear and compelling to you throughout the sermon series, and that you would find Jesus to be both believable and beautiful. But not only that, as we journey through this gospel, our desire is to equip ourselves to be able to witness to others the good news of who Jesus is and what he came to do for our salvation and for the restoration of the world, so that we would know how to talk about Jesus to others. So for those of us who are believers, as we are being renewed in our understanding of the person and the work of Jesus, we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider inviting your unchurched and de-churched friends to come and listen to this sermon series. And really, our prayer is that God would use this sermon series to plant gospel seeds, water those gospel seeds, and then for the Holy Spirit to give precious fruit of new faith and new life in Christ according to his sovereign will and pleasure. So to that end, we're going to turn our attention to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and following. It's a short story, probably very familiar to many of us. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. I want to read this for us as we read and meditate. Friends, this is God's word to us this morning. "And a leper came to him," to Jesus, "imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Three things that I want to highlight for us from this passage. First, we're going to talk about the leper's condition. Second, we're going to talk about the Savior's compassion. And third, we're going to talk about the costly exchange. So first, the leper's condition. Mark is a great, great, great storyteller. He is the Pastor Bobby of all the gospel writers. And he knows how to say just enough to leave us in wonder. So when our text says in verse 40 that a leper came to Jesus, Mark's original audience would have immediately felt the shock of that moment, and we ought to too. Because in Jesus' day, few people were seen as more repulsive and more untouchable than lepers. In the Bible, the word leprosy was a term used to describe a range of serious skin diseases, and whatever this man had, it was a devastating condition, so much that when the gospel writer Luke talks about the same incident, same account, who, by the way, was a physician and he was a historian, he talks about this man and he says about this man that he was a man full of leprosy, meaning like he was in terrible, terrible shape. Use your imagination. He was in really, really bad shape. Physically, leprosy was a disease that slowly destroyed the body. It didn't just affect the surface of the skin, it worked its way deeper into the nerves, into the flesh, into the bones. Because the disease actually numbed the nerves, lepers couldn't feel any pain. So like they would burn their hands without realizing it. They would injure their feet without knowing it. And over time, parts of the body would just deteriorate and decay. One physician family called leprosy a painless hell. But the physical suffering was only part of the devastation. Leprosy also brought emotional and relational and spiritual ruin and devastation. According to Leviticus 13, a leper was declared unclean, meaning they were cut off from their family, cut off from community, cut off from worship gatherings like this. Lepers had to wear torn clothes, let their hair hang loose, cover their mouths, and every time they would walk by somebody, every time they see people coming, they would have to shout aloud, unclean, unclean. Just imagine, enter their world just for a moment and imagine the humiliation. Jewish historians would say that the lepers were treated as if they were dead men, walking corpses. It was a death sentence for people with leprosy. So when this leper comes to Jesus, he is physically broken, socially rejected, and spiritually unclean. Now, you might be wondering, in 2026, what does this have anything to do with me or with us today? Well, there's more going on in this story than first meets the eye. Friends, in this story, we are given a vivid and devastating picture of the reality of sin. You see, sin, yours and mine, is a lot like leprosy. Like leprosy, sin goes deeper than the surface. It infects the whole person, our hearts, our minds, our desires, and our wills. And like leprosy, sin slowly destroys and decays. It defiles us and it isolates us. Sin separates us from God and fractures our relationships with others. Take the sin of pride, for example. Pride begins with a still small voice and thought in your head, thinking you are a little better, a little smarter, a little more right than others. But over time, it poisons relationships. It makes it hard to apologize, hard to forgive, and eventually it isolates us from people. Or in a marriage, when small selfish habits go unchecked and unrepentant, a harsh word here, a neglect there, a refusal to listen, a refusal to forgive. Nothing feels catastrophic in that moment, but over time, the warmth disappears, distance grows, and the relationship slowly deteriorates. You see, we are meant to see our spiritual condition in this story. Friend, we are spiritual lepers. And the disease of sin disfigures all of us. It leaves us physically broken, cut off, and unclean with no cure for the disease of sin that we can find within ourselves. And the leper in our text, he knew clearly his condition. And the question before us this morning is, do you and I see our condition as it is? In verse 40, this leper comes to Jesus and it says, imploring Jesus and kneeling, said to him, if you will make me clean. You see, the leper knew he was unclean. The leper knew he couldn't fix himself. So he comes to Jesus desperate and humble and needy. And you and I, we desperately need to see our condition in the same way. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a pastor and a theologian in the 20th century, he once said that one of the great spiritual realities of becoming a Christian is seeing the depth of our sin. And he went on to say this: until you realize that, meaning the depth of our sin, you cannot possibly have felt the need of Christ. You may have felt the need of help and advice and comfort, but until you awake to the fact that your nature itself is evil, until you realize that your trouble is that you yourself are wrong and that your whole nature is wrong, until you realize that, you will never have felt the need of a Savior. Christ cannot help or advise or comfort you until he has first of all saved you, until he has changed your nature. Oh, my friends, he says, have you felt this? God have mercy upon you if you haven't. And I love this last part. You may have been inside the church all your life and actively engaged in its work, but still I say, and I'm merely repeating what is said repeatedly in the Bible, that unless you have at some time or other felt that your very nature itself is sinful, that you are, in the words of St. Paul, dead in sin, then you have never known Jesus Christ as a Savior. And if you do not know him as a Savior, you do not know him at all. If we do not know him as a Savior, we do not know him at all. You know what I think this means? You know, at the core of the Christian faith, right? At the core of the Christian faith, Christianity is not some lifelong therapy session. At the core of the Christian faith is not some lifelong self-improvement project. It's not that we simply need better habits and more accountability and better strategies to fix our hearts and our lives and our marriages and our anger issues and our pride and our lust and whatever else. Dear church family, we need a new heart. We need clean hands and we need a pure heart. We are spiritual lepers and we cannot and we will not come to Jesus unless we first see our desperate condition. So again, I'm so glad we're here together this morning. Do we clearly see our condition and our need? And I think if we're willing to be honest this morning, many of us have gotten really, really good at hiding, minimizing, and justifying our uncleanness, if you will. We've learned to minimize our sin by comparing ourselves to others who we deem are little worse than us, you know, and we say things like, at least I'm not like him or her, or at least I don't do that and I'm not like that. We preoccupy ourselves with the flaws of others so that we can feel a little better about ourselves. It comes naturally to some of us to conveniently overlook our pride and our selfishness, our envy, and our obsessive need for control by focusing on all the good we've done, all the sacrifices we make for our family, all the serving we do, all the money we give away to charity. Sometimes we excuse our sin by blaming circumstances and blaming others. You know, we say things like, it's because of my upbringing. It's because I never had the parents that I really needed. It's because of the thing that happened to me. Or this is just how I'm wired. We excuse away our sin. Or, too often, maybe for some of us, we self-medicate our sins. We self-medicate the shame and the guilt and the conviction that accompany our sins by endlessly doom-scrolling, mindlessly entertaining ourselves till we become numb, and aimlessly distracting ourselves with recreation and travel and games and alcohol and all other trivial things this world has to offer. Would you consider that this morning? And I love one of the reasons why I love the Bible because I feel like it gives an accurate diagnosis. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We are meant to learn something vital from this lowly, disfigured leper in our text. The leper doesn't pretend. He doesn't justify. He doesn't cover up. The leper simply comes to Jesus and says, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. And friends, that's the beginning of grace. And the same is true of us. The moment we stop comparing, the moment we stop minimizing, the moment we stop making excuses, and the moment we stop self-medicating, and we come to Jesus honestly, I'm unclean, that's when everything begins to change. Which leads us to our second point. Let's look at our Savior's compassion. Just marvel with me at how Jesus responds. Look with me in verses 40 and following. So this leper came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, if you will, you will make me clean. You can make me clean. Verse 41, look at his response. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Man, how beautiful are these words. Here in this moment, Jesus responds with the entirety of his being, his heart, his hands, and his words. Jesus feels, Jesus touches, Jesus speaks. Mark says that Jesus was moved with pity or moved with compassion. The Greek word used here refers to something felt really deep in the gut. This is a visceral, gut-wrenching, from the bowels sort of compassion. And some commentators note that the word may also carry a sense of righteous indignation, meaning like this is a holy anger that Jesus feels at the devastation of sin in this fallen world. So in other words, when Jesus looks at the leper, he's far from being indifferent. He sees with his heart what sin has done to his image bearer. He sees with his heart the brokenness and the isolation and what sin has marred and disfigured. And this Jesus, our Jesus, is deeply, deeply moved. His heart moves him toward the leper. When everyone would turn the other way and run the other way, Jesus turns toward and moves toward this leper. Mark says in verse 41 that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And I don't know about you, but to me, it's an insignificant detail to me. Because, man, Jesus, you know, because of who he is, he could have just spoken those words and this man would have been healed. But he turned toward him. He stretched out his hand. He touched him. Why? Probably because this is the first human touch this man had ever experienced in years and in decades. This is compassion personified. compassion made visible and tangible. And what is more amazing is that according to the Old Testament law, touching a leper would have made any ordinary human unclean. But here, Mark is lifting the veil to help us see that Jesus is no ordinary human. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, and in his presence. In verse 42, it says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This is a vivid picture of the gospel. Jesus enters in. He draws near to the brokenness and our mess and our devastation with the entirety of his being, his heart, his hands. Jesus is not disgusted. He is not irritated. He is not indifferent. He is full of compassion, full of grace. And he bears the weight of the shame of the brokenness, and he holds the diseased in his hands. And in verse 41, he speaks these words, I will be clean. No hesitation, no uncertainty. He is just nothing but certainty and authority. Man, if you have ever wondered, like, can Jesus really, really forgive me? You know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my past was like. You don't know how dirty I feel. You know, will Jesus accept and love someone like me? Or maybe, for some of you, you have a loved one that's just running the other way from Jesus, and there's a loved one in your life that is making a shipwreck of your faith, of their faith, and is chasing after things that will just disappear and fall away, and you're grieving and you're hurt, and sometimes you wonder, man, will Jesus accept this person? Will Jesus welcome him? Will Jesus embrace him or her? Man, friends, the gospel is clear and certain. Jesus says, I will. No matter how broken, no matter how disfigured by sin, Jesus speaks louder than our sin, and he says, I will be clean. And we kind of have to ask this question, well, how does Jesus do that? I mean, for a leper, you know, Jesus stretched out his hand and he healed him, but for us, for us, we are spiritual lepers. How does Jesus make us clean? And this leads us to our final point, the costly exchange. And the end of our text, I think it gives us a clue how Jesus does this. And the end of this passage sort of takes an interesting turn. In verses 43 and following, Jesus tells the man not to tell others about what had happened. Instead, go to the priest and offer the sacrifices that the law of Moses required, because it was a means to be declared clean. This was a means by which the leper would be welcomed back into the community. But as the story unfolds, this man disobeys. And look what happens in verse 45. But the leper went out and began to talk freely about what had happened and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town but was out in desolate places. Did you just catch what happened? Mark began this story with the leper on the outside, marginalized, isolated, and cut off. And now, as we come to the end of this story, Jesus is the one that is being pushed out into desolate places. In the beginning of the gospel, the leper was the one in the desolate place, the one who had to live outside the community, the one who could not enter a town, and now Jesus is the one who could no longer openly enter a town. And from this moment on, as we read the rest of the gospel of Mark, Jesus is the one who will increasingly be marginalized, isolated, and cut off. Jesus and the leper have traded places. This is the costly exchange. Friends, we are being given a preview of the gospel. You see, this moment in Mark's gospel points us forward to an even greater moment. This takes us to the cross where Jesus willingly trades places with sinners. On the cross, he was counted as the one unclean. On the cross, he takes upon himself our sin and our sorrow, our guilt and our shame. On the cross, Jesus experiences the ultimate desolation. He is rejected by the crowds, condemned by the religious authorities, betrayed and abandoned by those closest to him. And he was even cut off from his Father in heaven. On the cross, he would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because on the cross, Jesus is taking our place for the wrath and punishment we justly deserve. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. In the place of our sin, we receive his forgiveness. In the place of our shame, we receive his righteousness. In the place of our guilt, we receive his peace. In the place of death, we receive new life. And in this costly exchange, we are made clean, we are made new, and we are made whole to such an extent that by grace through faith, when God sees us in Christ, in this costly exchange, he sees us holy and blameless and pure and clean and righteous, worthy and dignified, loved and belonged. So there's one question left for us. Will we come to Jesus this morning? No need to cover up our sins. No need to justify, no need to defend, no need to deflect, no need to shift blame. No need to minimize, no need to excuse our sins away. Will we come just as this leper did, broken and humble and needy, and say, if you will, you can make me clean? And this great gospel, beautiful and steadfast gospel, says to us that Jesus will respond to us with certainty and with authority, with two of the most beautiful words in the gospel, I will. I will. No matter the sin, the cross of Jesus speaks a better word. And our sin will never outpace and outlast and outrun God's mercy and forgiveness and grace poured out to us and for us in Jesus crucified in this costly exchange. There will be no sinner turned away. And there is no sin that the grace of Jesus Christ cannot and will not cover. So church family, let's come to Jesus. Let's bend our knees to him. Let's stop running. Let's believe the gospel. Let's receive the gospel. Let's rest in the gospel. He loves us with the entirety of his being. He loves us. He has come for us. He has given his life for us. And he says, I will make you clean. Let's come to him. Let's pray. Wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, this is worth believing and banking your life upon. That no matter the sin, the cross of Jesus speaks a better word. When we come broken, humble, and needy, the cross of Jesus assures us that Jesus will not run the other way, but he will move toward you with guttural compassion and with righteous indignation and holy anger at what sin has done in your life and in your heart. And with all of that force, he will move toward you. And he will speak two of the most beautiful words in the gospel over us. I will be clean. So will you come to Jesus? Please come to Jesus. Why don't we just take a moment and in whatever way God is nudging you, moving towards you, in whatever way God is giving you words to pray, to seek him. I just want to give you a moment to do that before I close in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am so glad that you not only welcome, but you seek out the messy, the broken, the empty, the bankrupt, and the ruined. God, that you actually move toward the weak and the vulnerable. I'm glad that's who you are. So God, would you teach us this moment to let go, to stop running, to stop hiding, to stop minimizing, to stop excusing, but just be here with you, broken, humble, and needy, and to hear our Savior's voice declare to us, I will be clean. May those words be so loud to us, over and above any voices of fear and doubt and accusation, whatever else, may your voice be loud here. Help us to hear and see you clearly with eyes of faith. So God, we just bring ourselves to you as you give of yourself and in your entirety to us. We want more of you. It's for your beautiful name we pray. Amen.